Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We begin a new book of the Bible today. We begin in the book of James, James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. And for those of you who are not familiar with the book of James, it is the first book right after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. So it's toward the end of the Bible. I'll give you a minute to find the Epistle of James. While you're finding it, I will remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com, and that you can study the Bible, which is the most important thing that you can do. Studying God's Word, verse by verse, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis through Revelation, using my audio Bible messages. Study it at thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, let's get into the book of James, and let's pray and ask God's blessing. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Begins in verse 1. James, a servant, literally a slave. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. James was the Lord's half-brother, and he calls himself a slave to God. We have an ugly connotation in our minds when we think of the word slave today. And it is when you're talking about being a slave of another human being. But it is not a bad thing. It is a good thing to be a slave to God. And if you are a Christian, that is what you signed up for. You signed up to be God's slave. He is your master. A slave has no rights. A slave has no personal agenda. A slave lives to do his master's will. And that is what we are called to as Christians. Without Jesus, we would be physically dead and burning in hell. When you repent and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to make him your Lord and Savior means to not only trust in his finished work on the cross, which pays for your sin, but you are also receiving him as Lord. They go together, you know. You can't take one without the other. And when you make Jesus your Lord, you are volunteering to be his slave, which means you have no life. You should have no personal agenda. You have no rights. You have the right to please God. Your personal agenda should be to do the written will of God found in his word and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Deny self, as Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He says, if you don't, you can't be my disciple. This is not something that you hear very often today, I'll bet you, if ever. But if you're not willing to be the slave of Jesus Christ, set aside your will to do his will, if that's not your attitude, you're not serious about Jesus and you're not saved. If you don't come to Christ with that attitude, then you haven't come to Christ. Not the one in the Bible that saves people from hell. You have no agenda. You have no rights. You're here for one reason, to do the will of God, to follow the Lord and the Master Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. He is your Savior, or He is nothing. That's what we're called to. And so James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. This letter was originally sent to Christian Jews. Back in Old Testament days, the Israelites were scattered out of their land by their enemies as punishment from God. The scattered Jews mentioned here in verse 1 were some of those Israelites who never returned. The message of Jesus, though, went out to them. It reached them where they were, and they became Christians. And now James writes this Holy Spirit-inspired, the Word of God, in particular, to these scattered Christian Jews. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various trials. In other words, when you go through hard times as a Christian, look beyond the hard times. There's nothing good about bad. Excuse me. There is nothing good about bad, but God can bring good out of bad. There's nothing fun about problems, but we can trust that God allows bad to bring about good. That's a real test of faith. To trust that God can bring bad out of good, that's a test of faith. And only those with faith in God and faith in His holy word will respond to bad times with trust. With faith in Christ, our focus will not be on the circumstances, will not be on the bad, but instead our focus will be on God, who is the God of those circumstances. That's where our focus needs to remain, and to continue to be His slave, even when things aren't going the way we want to. That's how you trust that He is working all things, even the bad, for your good, which He has promised that He will. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. If you as a Christian will draw closer to Jesus during your trials, then from the time that that trial begins, you will begin to notice a change in yourself. You will notice a spiritual improvement. Because as we trust in Christ through hard times, as we endure trials by believing God has allowed them for a reason, our faith is going to grow stronger. And faith develops perseverance. There is no easy way to develop perseverance. There is no easy way to grow stronger spiritually. In this fallen world, results, both physical and spiritual results, only come through struggle. People who never had to struggle are weak. People who never have to struggle are very shallow people, probably spoiled brats. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God has never promised any Christian an easy life. I heard one idiotic, foolish, moral reprobate, word of faith teacher say, "You can't glorify God if you are suffering." What an ignorant statement coming from a false teacher, someone who's in the ministry for filthy lucre's sake, teaching lies to try to get people to give to him by making false promises of constant peace and constant prosperity and constant good times if they only have enough faith. That is a lie. If you support people like that, you will be accountable to God for promoting false doctrine. You better snap out of it. God has never, anywhere in Scripture, ever promised any Christian an easy life. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That means by relying on Jesus and trusting on him through hard times, you'll have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But he never promised you an easy life if you're a Christian. He said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. There are good times, and there are bad times. But godliness does not guarantee a life of ease, free of pain, free of trouble. And faith does not guarantee you a life of ease, free of pain, free of trouble. That's not what faith is. That's not the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith is to trust God regardless of your circumstances and continue to be God's slave, thus bringing glory to his name by not being a fair weather fan. Godliness does not guarantee a life free of trouble. In fact, according to what God says right here, suffering and pain and trouble are an important part of our spiritual growth process. They're essential. Difficulties are not fun, but they are not the enemy. They hurt, but they do not harm. Not if you're a Christian. And so just as Jesus embraced the cross, which hurt, it hurt a lot. It hurt him, but it helped us. So we, by faith, can embrace our trials, which hurt. They're not fun. They hurt a lot sometimes, but they work to sanctify us, and God is using them to accomplish his plan and his purpose. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God wants to give us wisdom even more than what we want wisdom. God wants us to know what is right. God wants us to do what is right. The problem is, sometimes people want to go with their feelings or their desires, so they don't search for God's wisdom on a particular subject, or they reject God's wisdom when they hear it. They don't want to be a slave to God. They don't want to be a slave to Jesus, so they reject the wisdom of God. But he wants to give us wisdom so that we can be a proper slave. Verse 5 and 6, notice, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. God says, ask in faith. Meaning this, when we pray, we are to believe that God is going to say yes, especially to something that he's already said he wants us to have. So when we pray and ask for wisdom, pray believing that God will say yes. And you'll get it. Because if you don't believe that you have wisdom after you pray for it, then you're not going to do what you think is right as it lines up with Scripture. You're going to be worried that God didn't give you wisdom when he says that he did, and he said that he will. So pray for wisdom and then go with it. Just make sure that whatever your thoughts are line up with Scripture. But just in general, when you pray, pray and believe that God will say yes if it's according to his will. And if it doesn't contradict his word. And if the time is right. Those are things to remember. When you pray, pray according to the word of God. Pray believing that God will say yes if you pray for anything in Jesus' name according to God's will. So pray believing that you will receive it if it's according to God's will and if it doesn't contradict the word and if the time is right. In other words, faith in prayer and faith in general involves trusting in the good sense of God. Verse 7. For let not that man, the man that doubts, let's read 6 and 7 together. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If we don't pray believing that God will hear and answer in the correct way, then our prayers are a waste of time. If that's the way a person prays, then their mind isn't even in it. Their prayers are vain jangling. I mean, if you don't believe that God hears, and you don't believe that God will answer if it's in his will and trust for the right answer, whatever it might be, If you don't believe with those thoughts in mind, then why are you praying? Your heart's not in it. Your mind's not in it. You're just speaking empty words, useless words. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You know, we Christians are forgiven sinners, period. According to Jesus, even faithful Christians who have done absolutely everything, and I don't know any Christian, no matter how much they love God, who has ever done absolutely everything that God wanted 100% of the time. God have mercy on us, right? If we're Christians, that's what we want. And if we're Christians, when we fail Jesus and we know we fail Jesus, we certainly confess those sins immediately so we can get right back on track. But just hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say there is a Christian who has done absolutely everything that his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, expects of him. Jesus says, even somebody like that, they're still unworthy slaves. That's what he said. You're still an unworthy slave. In light of that, our self-respect And our self-worth does not, should not, cannot come from who we are. If you're running around listening to these modern evangelicals who are promoting self-esteem, self-worth, self-actualization, self, you are listening to a bunch of liars whose sermons aren't worth a nickel. Because that's not taught in the Bible. If you could do absolutely everything that your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants you to do, Jesus says you're still an unworthy slave. You're just kidding yourself if you're getting your self-worth and self-respect from who you are. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to turn the radio and the computer and the television off when you hear these jokers say that sort of stuff, promoting self-esteem, which has just been rampant probably in the last 20 years on a lot of Christian radio, which is why I don't listen to Christian radio anymore. I'm not saying everything on there is bad, but it's hard to find a couple of nuggets of edible food when you're searching through garbage cans. Our self-respect and self-worth cannot possibly come from who we are. It comes from who we are in Christ. Consequently, if I'm not looking good, if I'm not good looking, if I'm not smart, I'm not wealthy, that's not the end of the world. Do you know what it is? I'm not good looking, I'm not smart, I'm not wealthy. You know what that means? You know what that is? It's nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And I say that because no matter what I have going for me or don't have going for me, I can rejoice that I'm in the family of God and I can have fun with Jesus and that someday I will be in a brand new raised body and live on the new earth forever thanks to my Lord and Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's not about me, period. End of story, nothing, zilch. It has nothing to do with me at all. We do not need self-esteem. Self-esteem is a lie. You search and you strive to get self-esteem, and when you finally get it, you know what you got? Nothing. You bought a lie. That's all you've bought, is a lie. And I know. Christian counselors, Christian psychos, I've been up to my eyeballs in listening to that garbage. And I know plenty of them. And they're just, it doesn't matter what the Word of God says. They still promote self-esteem and self-worth and self and self and self. And you can't find it in Scripture. Don't search for self-esteem. Don't strive for self-esteem. Strive for Christ's esteem. Because apart from Him, you could do nothing. Apart from Him, you would have nothing. Everything good that you have now, anything good that you can do now, anything good that you will ever have in the future as a Christian, you're going to have plenty, is all due to Jesus and the cross of Christ. It all points to Him. We need to lift up Jesus totally, 100%. You see that? Don't go and promote, don't go and support preachers and teachers who make you feel good about yourself. Support those who make you feel good about Jesus. And then you can rejoice in the grace of Jesus Christ that He loves you in spite of you. He loves you and He'll bless you now and forever in spite of the fact, as Jesus said, you are a unprofitable slave. And that's the best of us. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. You know, there are no big shots in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although some would like you to think that they're big shots and they strut around because they make a lot of money, or they've got an impressive title behind their name, and they're in evangelicalism, and oh boy, you know, they're in the upper strata of the church, and the pastor, you know, caters to them because they can give you, they can give big offerings. Don't tell me that doesn't go on in churches. There are no big shots in churches. Only sinners saved by God's grace through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. A Christian who is a billionaire is no better than a Christian who is an unemployed pauper. It just turns my stomach when Christians have an haughty attitude. Well-educated Christians, wealthy Christians, when they have an haughty attitude toward good Christians who are morally good, but maybe aren't quite as intelligent, don't have the education, don't have the vocabulary, don't make the money, don't have the looks, don't dress as well. These haughty, arrogant Christians, and I've known plenty of them, unfortunately, they ought to be ashamed of themselves, and they will answer to God for their sinful, Pharisaic pride. Because I will tell you this, a Christian who is a billionaire, as I said, is no better than a Christian pauper, an uneducated Christian. I suppose good looks, wealth, and position are nice things to have. I suppose. But they are nothing to get too excited about, because they're not going to last. Why are you making a big deal out of it? They're not going to last. You know what God compares them to? Right here. You just saw it in verses 9 and 10. Wildflowers. Wildflowers start blooming in the spring. But give them a month and they're gone. That's the way it is around here anyway. The spring wildflowers come up. I see them when I go on my prayer walks. They come up. They look great for about 3 weeks, month at the most, and they die off. And they're replaced by a different species of wildflowers that last about the same length of time. I think of apple blossoms. Wonderful. Apple blossoms. Lilacs. You folks like those things? There's nothing sweeter. There's not a prettier scent in the world than an apple blossom or a lilac. But they come and go. They live just a short period of time. They're wonderful. They're very impressive. But they're just here a short time, and then they're gone. And good looks, in position and wealth, they're not going to last very long either. Knowing Jesus is the only thing that really matters. And that's what we should glory in. Find your purpose in life in being a slave to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm out of time. Continue studying the Word of God. Get to know the God of the Bible even better. I hope you got a taste of God today in our first study in the book of James. But for more of God, to draw closer to Him, you got to study the Word of God. And you can do that at thebibleversebyverse.com. Using my audio Bible messages, just click the book you want to study, click the chapter, open your Bible, follow along, and listen as I teach it verse by verse. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember that we are brought to you by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to be a part of this ministry, pray for this ministry. Pray for me. Pray that God will bless His Word. I would appreciate that very much. And also click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com. And again, prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. stand with me. Would you help me to get out the word of God? Until next time, so long, everyone.